Well, hello. Welcome back. We're on for another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Livestock and Commodities Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle swap. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Been a month since we've had a market update. Fortunate, obviously, last episode to have Philip Smith, the CEO of StoneX Group, on. So a good chance to jump back into some market stuff this week. There's been, obviously, some fairly substantial change in the past month across a number of different things. But, you know, I mean, obviously, the big one we're all recognising is certainly the shift in the weather. I think that is probably will be a lot of what I talk on today, and a couple of other things. Would like to get across the alignment or the triple alignment of drying conditions, the ramp up in seasonal spring supply, and that change in mood, and the combination of those three factors and how it's pressured markets and pricing. The second one is that Angus to crossbred feeder steer spreads or prices and that relationship. It's now at its narrowest level since early April. I think important to keep an eye on that for the next 6 weeks to see what it does. And finally, the fact of price volatility in markets, particularly the Australian cattle market, has been getting some really good coverage this week after some fantastic work by Angus Gidley Baird. And just want to touch on that and recognise our StoneX has a potential solution for the beef supply chain and participants to mitigate and deal with that risk of price volatility. But I'll start with how this mood in the market has changed and ultimately what that's transpired, you know, to deliver a bit of a shift in how people are thinking, really underpinned by obviously the change in weather. September was, you know, for most parts of sort of north of Dubbo, particularly the south had very much below average, but even parts of north of Dubbo, rain, you know, has been minimal for the last couple of months. October's looking very much along the same line to be below average for what a lot of people would expect at this time of year, particularly with some storms starting up. So some have been fortunate to get under them, others have not. And that drying trend really creeping into the eastern states, you know, New South Wales into Queensland, coupled with the ramp up in temperature, it's probably not uncommon, but that really sharp increase in temperatures and obviously the lack of rain has really shortened the sort of spring growing window. And that effect has probably reduced the demand because of the seasonal conditions and weather has just sort of steadied the demand from the producer end. You're particularly seeing that in those restocker markets. But you know, those seasonal conditions, I think at the minute are really weighing on confidence of producers. And the conversations I'm having from Western Victoria through to far north Queensland are just telling me that from the producer level, you know, there is a little bit of need for some rain. You know, people are looking out for it, and it's not just isolated to one area. It's right across the eastern seaboard. Just interesting to see how those conversations have sort of shifted over the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks and how I've just been amazed at how quickly it has moved, considering how strong a lot of people a position were in, considering how wet the winter was. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly that confidence and the mood of the market changes. What I would say on top of that, though, when the mood of the market obviously changing, is it has brought in some fairly significant volatility. And I think if you look at the second half of this year, July until now, markets have been substantially more volatile than the first half. Obviously, we had that sharp rally in prices that began in late June, peaked, you know, sort of early September, and now we're coming down the other side of that in this cycle. The volatility in pricing, obviously all underpinned by the season and what that has done to confidence, you know, and selling decisions, things like that. The volatility of the market has really sort of ramped up in the second half of this year, which has been interesting. And I think the other part to that triple alignment of weather, change in the market's mood, and obviously the third thing is supply. And we knew the cattle numbers were there. I don't think it's surprising necessarily to see this in this cycle and market pattern prices decline. Like, it's not uncommon to see the, you know, the numbers of cattle sold in spring significantly ramp up once we get into it out of winter. It's a pretty normal, you know, seasonal pattern of the market. So I think that increase in supply has obviously weighed on pricing, particularly in the feeders market across all categories. Again, not out of the ordinary, but that those volumes of cattle coming off crop, you know, have ramped up significantly in the past month, and that's played a big role in pressuring those prices. At a category level, I think, as I sort of mentioned, on the restocker front, you know, the seasonal conditions are certainly weighing on confidence. And as I said earlier, it has really tightened up and closed nearly for some people anyway, that spring production window of, you know, mild temperatures, lovely days, and, you know, really favorable grass growing conditions. But that, with that heat and wind and lack of rain, it's really sucked the moisture out of the soil and just probably steadied the demand from the producer. And I think it has impacted a little bit of confidence, and you're seeing that reflected in softer pricing. There is a weather front coming in the next week, though, and on that, I think it would be fair to say we should see some positivity and some support for light cattle prices in, you know, the southeast of South Australia and Victoria over the next week. Models generally are aligning for some good rain, and there's been some rain this week already, falls of anywhere 5 to 50 mils, you know, should support some demand for light cattle down there at the minute. Again, those regions haven't been immune to the heat, but rain at this time of year will be very much appreciated, despite the fact that I think more broadly spring just hasn't delivered what it was supposed to. I think we can look at this rain system, if it can provide some good falls, will be quite positive for that market. In the feeder space, the feedlots themselves have taken their longest position, or have gone long on cattle for the most amount of time in terms of how far out they're buying, really for the first time since Q1 this year. So it gives you an idea of, obviously, one, their buying behaviour, but two, the availability of cattle they have around them. And that, you know, evidence of supply is pretty crucial. Looking at how they're doing it, some are, you know, aggressively looking to purchase and place cattle for Q1 next year, but are leaving themselves short on cattle or space really between now and the end of the year. Gives you a bit of an idea about their attitude towards markets, and obviously if they're looking to purchase and place cattle for early next year, it just shows you that they're wanting to get numbers in front of them for that tricky period when the new year kicks off. I think what I would say on supply in general, you know, has been a big contributor of this softening in price. We knew the cattle were there, you know, across the northwest and New South Wales into southern Queensland. We knew that the cattle were there. And I think the addition this year, probably more so than a lot of others, has been that a contribution of those weaners that were bought for a backgrounding trade in the south, you know, in early this year, sort of Q1, and then post that March rain. That we've already got large numbers of feeders. You know, the herd in northern New South Wales, southern Queensland is operating, you would say, at capacity. There is a lot of cattle in those regions. Add on top of that the wet winter and obviously the draw of cattle out of those southern regions. Those southern cattle plus the local cattle are just combining now and obviously delivering a lot of numbers. And in that, you know, categorical type Angus and British Cross. So, you know, we knew the cattle were there. It's just taken probably a little longer than I expected for them to come forward, but those volumes are flowing freely at the minute. I think the other thing to consider about supply, you know, we have seen an easing of southern activity buying feeders in the northern markets. They're still there, but just not pressuring it with the same competition as what they were, say, a month, 6 weeks ago when that market peaked, the feeder market peaked. I don't foresee, though, the southerners having a really big long run with plenty of cattle around them. We know over the last 2 years there's been a lot of cattle removed from those regions. There's not a lot of cattle left down there. Obviously, a lot of the northerners, which we've spoken about a lot on the podcast this year, have bought, you know, the vast majority of those stock in those markets, or they've been trucked north on adjustment. They're now getting marketed in these northern markets. So I don't foresee the southerners to have a really big long run of availability of supply. They're certainly in it at the minute, and they are getting those numbers of feeders around them that they expect each year. But I think it is something to be mindful of, is it's not going to last forever. And once those southerners do have to come back into northern markets, that should provide some support for pricing. On the slaughter front, cows, they're back off their highs in out of the yards anyway by about 30 cents. But even when you look at them at around $3.60 this week, still really good money. They have just eased and continued to ease really, but probably found a bit of stability in the last week and just sort of firmed a touch. And you can see that across a couple of the sale yard markets. Prices have just steadied rather than continued to soften. But you know, markets and how those prices are performing are still pretty positive. I think between now and the end of the year, as spring calving ramps up, musters and whatnot, northern New South Wales, Queensland, we should see some bigger numbers of cull cows come to market. That will be something to be mindful of. But I think generally cows stand to be pretty well supported through to the end of this year. I said it, I think back in February, they'll be the highlight of 25. Stand by that comment. And yeah, think they stand to be well supported for the next couple of months, despite the fact that we should see some more numbers coming out of those southern spring calving systems. On your supermarket cattle, still performing very well. Availability of stock for them at this time of year is also pretty positive, but markets in terms of prices are pretty solid at the minute as well. Second one I wanted to get into, this price relationship between Angus feeders and crossbred feeders and how that spread shifts on a seasonal pattern each year. So we also look at StoneX and obviously for some Angus producers, we look at this price relationship because the StoneX feeder cattle swap's underpinned by the Argus Northern Feeder Index, which is based on a Queensland flatback or crossbred, 380 to 480 kilos, Norton two tooth, no more than 51% Boss Indicus content. We look at that relationship for Angus relative to the crossbreds as basis. And when you look at how it works, it's, and as I've mentioned a couple of times, it's extremely seasonal. It's now, that spread is now at its narrowest level since early April, and it's fallen over 75 cents. So the spread was $1.05 in late July, and now it's at around 30 cents. It's fallen over 75 cents in less than 3 months, which gives you a bit of an idea of the pressure, supply pressure that Angus market is feeling, and that's narrowing that price spread. The crossbred market has also come back, but not to the same extent of the Angus. So Angus prices on grids, you know, 480 to sort of $5.10 at the minute, back under, based on Argus's Angus price, back under $5 for the first time, as I say, since July. And, you know, prices generally on grids across the board fallen anywhere from sort of 30 to 50 cents in the past month, which just gives you an idea of the strength of numbers around the feeders and the numbers they have at the minute. And that aligns with sale yard prices as well. So I had a look at the New South Wales feeder market. It's back 10% or 50 cents off its highs in less than 3 weeks, and just gives you a bit of an idea of, now obviously the sale yard numbers don't specify breed, but majority of those cattle would be Angus or have Angus influence, gives you a bit of an idea of the availability of cattle currently. As I mentioned, obviously, the additional supply coming out of the south or southern cattle in those northern markets is adding to that. And obviously, this is contributing to what we're seeing with this price spread against crossbred cattle, as I say, now at its lowest level in over 6 months. The next 6 weeks, I think, will be quite telling. It should be pretty interesting to see how that market performs. I suspect we will see Angus and crossbred prices at or near parity by late November, early December. So in the next 6 weeks, those prices should be operating at the same level. In the sale yards at the minute, there's examples of that happening already, and conversations I've had with the market this week indicate that to me. So even though the grid markets are running a little bit of behind, there's cattle, crossbred cattle making the same money as Angus feeders in the yards at the minute. Should be a pretty interesting pretty interesting dynamic to watch. I always find it pretty unique. I think in terms of timing, next 6 weeks, we should see that market or both of those prices back at near evens. The timing is about the same as 23 and 24. Lastly, to wrap up, as I mentioned at the start, and I'd encourage anyone who hasn't looked at it yet to seek it out through, industry like Trade Industry, media mastheads. Angus Gidley-Baird, the senior animal proteins analyst at Rabo, has done a fantastic piece of research looking at cattle price volatility in Australia and how much it's increased over the last 5 to 10 years. Really interesting piece of work. And as I say, I'd encourage people to go and have a look at it. It's really created some conversation in the beef industry over the last 6 weeks. I think Gus has released two different papers. This is the second part of it. And 4 to 6 weeks ago when he released the first, both of them have created conversation around volatility and how markets are becoming more volatile, which they are. And it's been interesting to follow and watch. What I would say is we're speaking a lot about, and I think it's a really good thing, we're recognising volatility is a factor in the beef industry, and it's obviously becoming more prevalent and more common, these swings in market prices. But what we're not doing is considering, through StoneX and the tool that we have, our Australian Feeder Cattle Swap, we do have a potential solution for the beef industry and the supply chain to manage this risk. So we're recognising that there is an issue, but generally we're not also recognising that there is a potential solution people can use to manage that risk at an individual level. And I think we need to, gather this momentum that Angus has started, build on that and start the broader conversation about managing risk and it becoming more of a culture within the beef industry. It's not something we talk about enough. And I think Gus has done a great work to kick that conversation off. Now it's about moving beyond just recognizing there's a problem and actually doing something about it and starting to make risk management more of a conversation in the industry. Through our feeder swap, we've got the ability to potentially provide that solution for a beef supply chain participant to manage their risk. Obviously, markets are becoming more volatile, and that presents, yes, it presents opportunity, but it also presents risk. And I think, we as StoneX do have that potential solution, and I think it's important we now start to have that conversation in a bit more detail collectively. That wraps us up for this week. If today's episode or any others have raised any questions, feel free to reach out. I've got a few which I've sort of kept locked away, which I'll address at the end of this year. So if you do have questions that you'd like me to answer, as I say, send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice note of yourself on your phone, where you're from, the question, and we'll get to answering it in the next episode. Feel free to share this podcast with your mates. The more people that get this in their hands, the better. Different perspectives and views, I think, only support listeners with making more informed decisions. So feel free to share it around or review it on your listening platform. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.